Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Welcome, 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 Dr. Paula Price. How are you today?
I am great. Why do you sound so far away?
I don't know. I'm close.
Well, can you boost up, put your boost on or something?
I'm boosted.
Okay, so there we go. Well, you sound a little better, so that makes me happier. We might have to start getting some upscale technology to do this every week now, huh? We might have worn this out as, you know, we're used to doing that.
Yeah, we will test technology to its limits.
Yes, we will. But anyway, I am glad this is Thursday, which is show day, and I'm excited. I look forward to this every week. We have an almost sunny day here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The weather's been a little crazy, but we can't complain, Ashley, because it's been wretched in other places of the country. So I guess
we can't complain. No, we can't. I've seen friends stranded on the highway for hours and stuck in all kinds of places. So we're doing good.
We can see the sky, we can see the ground, and we can get around from place to place. So that's a good thing. Well, we have a great, great show today. I want to thank every one of you who have joined me today on the Paula Price Show on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank you all who have reached out to me this week. Let me say this to you. I appreciate your reaching out. Now, of course, you know the numbers and all of that can't answer everybody, but I read it all. You guys are important to me. You're important to what God is doing. But we are doing something together as a team. We are becoming a force that God is using and that this generation will have to reckon with. We are becoming powerful people. And you know what makes us powerful is the wisdom of God. My strength is wisdom. My anointing is wisdom. Now, that's not my only one, but that's my dominant one. If I was a cog, then I have to say the hub of my whole mantle is wisdom because God wants to be known. My passion is to make God make sense because you all who are listening to me today can agree that we don't often make God make sense. And sometimes God just sounds a little fickle to us, sounds like he's losing it, a little bit schizophrenic. Sometimes we don't know if he's going into senility. We don't know because we don't know him as he is. And so when I say as he is, I'm really talking about God the person and not the institution that we built around him. And this is not to discredit or disparage the institution, but it is to say that what is captured about a person in print and what a person is releasing dynamically can be two different things. If the print is correct, then that dynamic, that rhema word, will continually make you understand the person. If the print is errant, then the two are going to conflict. And so I want you to know my passion is to make Jesus Christ make sense in this generation. In a time when we are, you know, we're bashed for being Christians. You can't use his name. You can't say his name. You know, people talk God all day long. Just don't mention Jesus. Because Jesus himself said that he is the rock of offense. He's the stumbling stone and the rock of offense. And when you think about that, that's like, what? You know, Jesus, he's our sweet Jesus. But you realize that Jesus is beloved to us and hated by many. The question is why? What is it that gives people such a problem with Jesus Christ? We talk about God, you know, and anybody can just tag that label God, you know. But Jesus has three reactions to him. Absolute, abject love and passion, fervent hatred, I mean furious hatred, enragement. There are people that just get enraged at the name of Jesus. And then he has those people who want to imitate him. They want to be like him. And so then he gets hijacked. We've talked about Jesus being the victim of identity theft forever, amen, because that's just what happened to him. But what is it about our Savior that drives people nuts? Because the answer to that question is what determines why we are, as I introduced last week, the first faith of creation. We are the first faith. We are the only family of God. It's throughout all of creation. It doesn't matter. We're it, and we're it because of Jesus. So that's number one. The man comes to the planet, and he blows all of the records, blows all the curves. And so what is it that bothers people about Jesus? And the fact of the matter is, if Jesus stayed in heaven and never became flesh, no one would have a problem with him. We'd also not have the name under heaven, you know, because there's no other name under heaven whereby man must be saved, according to Acts 4:12. So that means that if this man had never become flesh, we'd never have a problem. But you know what else we'd never have? We'd never have a church. We would never have Christianity. We would never have the Holy Spirit. We would never have salvation. We would never have redemption. We would never have any of those things that are ticking people off today. We would never have them, because if Jesus brought all of that from his world to our world, it cracks me up. You know, it really cracks me up when people talk about, you know, is there life outside of us? Is there another world? I mean, do aliens exist? And you can tell, for those of who don't know God, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. But let's get real. Jesus Christ came to the planet as an alien, God incarnate. The man donned flesh. First of all, I want to keep saying this, because this is my joyous part about Christ. The man is God forever. He's sitting on the throne of all creation. He is calling the shots. He is ruling everything, seen, unseen. He is doing that after he has labored with his Father to help God the Father make all of this stuff, made it all. Now he's ruling it all, and he walks around, and he said, but you know what? Like Adam in the garden. Here, you're going to like this. This is great. You know, when God began to embody the creation that he made, and he began to craft everybody out of earth, when God did that, he looked around after God created all of the animals and gave them all mates. Adam made a strange statement, and this was his statement. He said he found nothing that looked like him. Everything came in pairs, but nothing resembled him. You know, for all of our ape talk, Adam has something to say, but nothing is looking like me. Nothing is talking like me. Nothing is connecting with me. And God wanted Adam to come to that realization that he was different and he was unique, and how he made everything else is not how he brought the first man and the first woman into existence. He wanted Adam to etch that in his mind. So Adam makes this statement, but there's none like me. So Jesus Christ, likewise, God does all of this great work, gets all of this stuff accomplished. Marvelous, great. They've got angels, they've got kingdoms, they've got thrones and principalities, they've got realms, they got all of this greatness going on. All of it. They've got creatures, servants, you name it, God's got them. If he wants, I want somebody to bring me a Kleenex, he just blink. There's a Kleenex carrier. I can't come bring you a Kleenex. But Jesus knows something. He knew there was all that they had created. They made nothing that was exactly like him, which was why God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. That statement was not a terminal statement. That was a prototypical statement, because the real image and likeness of Jesus Christ is those who are born again by the Spirit, born again by the Holy Ghost. So God laid the template. He sketched a template called Adam. And he became the prototype for what Jesus was looking for. So now he got something that looks like him, and he's got something that can be like him, but it's not eternal. It's only immortal. It's not eternal. So you have to understand that. For those of us who buy into the Jesus Christ wanted to bring us back to the Adam, not the first one, the last one. And the last Adam was eternal, the Lord from heaven. So this man is sitting around, and he says, but I don't have anything that's like me. Now, they favor me. They have my component parts. They've got my elements, but they're not like me. And so that's what he did. So he gets up off of his throne, and instead of saying, I'm going to get me a spaceship like Thor, or I'm going to fly through the sky like some of these guys, he said, no, I'm coming in the door. And he said, I'm going to create the perfect spaceship for myself that will do what I want, reproduce me after my own kind. And he put himself in sperm. And in sperm, he traveled from his world to our world. That's a powerful story. See, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. This other stuff we've been telling about God crying, hoping we all make it in, that is not God. So Jesus gets up off the throne, says, I'm putting aside my sovereignty. I'm putting aside my creatorhood. I'm putting aside all of the authority that I wield as an eternal man, and I'm going to make myself mortal, and I'm putting myself in sperm. And he did. And he put himself, not only did he put himself in sperm, but he then allowed his father to put him in the womb of a woman. Now, I told you last week why Jesus could not have a wife, could not have a girlfriend, could not have recreational sex like we like it, because he would have lost one of us. So he never could allow his sperm to leave his body, because he carried the new creation, and everyone was important, which is why he said, of all that you have given me, I shall lose nothing. So here we go. He travels. Can you imagine? And he's traveling down the line, all the way down to David's line, all the way down to get through where he is. Now, he's traveling down the line as sperm, but when it's time for him to get here, he flips to an egg because the sperm is his father. So Jesus literally breaks all records. Now, if he'd have been coming back and forth, he could be venerated as a divine being. But to come as human, nobody wants that, because now there's somebody has shown us how to live this thing the way we were built. He comes living the manual of humanity and creates the model of humanity. Jesus is the template of what God will live with forever. Amen. And that is a problem, because nobody wants to know that God put all of this in one person's hands, in one person's being, in one person's soul. Nobody wants to know that. And that's where he sets the stuck place. And then for him to do it and to reproduce us, not the way every other religion is reproducing their adherents. You know, we're just going to have some children, and then we're going to sprinkle some water on them, or put them in some fire, grease them up with some oil, I don't know, whatever. You know, however, do some chants, put them out in the bush, let them see if they survive. No, that's not what God did. God said, I'm going to create my son's offspring the way I created Adam, by my word. It wasn't even this. Adam, he said, let there be, and Adam was. We act like God didn't do it before. So now he's using that same pattern, that same technique to bring us here. As a matter of fact, that's one of the terms for Christ. He's that technique of God. So God brings that technique here. And he says, I'm putting it in there. He said, and I did it by my word once. I did it by my word twice. I'm doing it by my word for the third and final time. Adam, by his word. Well, actually, fourth time if you count Christ, but we're going to stay on earth. Adam, Jesus in the womb, and now us, the new creation, again, by the same very word of that creative, reproductive side of God's word is how he brings us into existence. What's the difference? The difference is we're coming through the parent that could not be killed and destroyed. In other words, Jesus couldn't stay dead, so we can't die. We're coming through the parent who has access to God's eternal world. That's Jesus. We're coming through the parent who has favor with God, who is exactly of God's gene pool. So you have to recognize that Adam was God's technology, but we are God's genealogy. And that is the big difference. You know, the guy who makes the car and has a kid, those next things, they may both be called that guy's baby, but not all of them come from that guy's gene pool. We come from God's gene pool, genetics, not his handiwork, his genetics. And we are part of the divine genetic that brought Jesus Christ into existence. That's what makes folks mad. That's what makes people upset. That's where the stuck place is. Remember that Adam was God's technology, which is why it can be destroyed. But we're Christ of Christ, and we are of his genealogy. And we're from the literal gene pool of the Godhead that they did. God only did it once and then stopped it after Jesus, locked it up, vaulted it down until Jesus got in flesh. And then when he got back to heaven, if God wanted us to be born again of the flesh, Jesus would have had a wife and some kids. Now, that would have defeated the whole eternal life purpose, but that's enough. But he didn't. God made sure that we were not born when Jesus was on the planet, so everybody would know that that everything that Jesus brought to the planet and took to hell, he brought back home. to get it accepted by God. Folks, we're not just Christians because we say a prayer. We're not just Christians because we sing great songs. We're not Christians just because of all of those external manipulations that we do. Those are all outgrowths. Those are habits born from our being of the habitation of God and God inhabiting us. So I'm excited. You could not make me feel bad about being a Christian. Nobody could ever make me feel bad about being a Christian. I don't care what you say. You can't hurt my feelings because there is nothing like us in all creation. There's not an angel like us. There's not a devil like us. There's not anything like us in all creation because God, we are God's top shelf, his prime choice, and we may not be good at it, but it's still good in us. Just because you're not good at being a Christian does not mean that God didn't give you a good birth. It says we're born noble birth. And so the problem is we're looking for aliens, and Jesus came as an alien. He came from the future and came back in time. Because he came from the end, he came from the revelation. You know, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. He came from that all the way back to the end of the time of Adam's seed. And I want you to know that if you really wrap your head around this thing and you get a hold of the fact that God brought you into existence from something that he never let anybody else know exists, that he hid in Christ. He literally hid us in Jesus Christ. He hid your eternal spirit in Christ, and he put your immortal soul in Adam. And he hid us in Christ. And when the time was right, he joined the two and begot us again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. We cannot get upset about God. We're getting born again by the Word. Adam came into existence by the Word. So why can't Jesus come in existence by the Word? And why can't we come in existence by the Word? I'm telling you, there is nothing like us. That's why it rocks the earth to the core to think about a Christian. It scares people because we carry the thing that no one else has. And it's so wonderful because God didn't just make a handful. There are literally trillions of us that will be at the end of this plan that will all come together to be that species of the Godhead, the all human, all God, all together. And that is the problem. That is what, they can't stamp us out, so they're trying to diffuse us with everything else. You can't do it. The Holy Ghost is going to keep having kids. I don't care how much they scream, shout, spit, sputter. The Holy Ghost is pregnant with all of these people that were in Jesus' gene pool, that were in his loins when he came to the earth as God, the Son of God, the Son of Man, and went to hell with him, rose from the dead. I'm telling you, folks, we are awesome. And it's that awesomeness that intimidates folks. And so what we did is we had this campaign playing the gas played against us that said, oh, y'all ain't that. Well, it's nothing. It's only church. No, if you're only a church Christian, then you need to go back to the cross because church can't make Christians. Only the Holy Ghost carries your eternal spirit. Only the Holy Ghost can merge, fuse your immortal soul with your eternal spirit. Nobody can do that. That is the essence of the new birth. It is not about whether or not you have a great morning, you wake up, you feel good. Oh, my gosh, I have a changed outlook, a changed perspective. As a matter of fact, most of us, when we got born again, we didn't have much of a change other than we knew something happened, but we couldn't tell you what. It took a little bit. Why? Because that eternal spirit comes as a seed, and it has to grow up. And if you don't nurture it with the Word of God and the Spirit of grace and all of the other stuff, it's going to stay a baby. And babies will be bratty. Babies are bratty. Babies get in stuff. Babies don't understand. They have tantrums. They tear up stuff. Still a baby. Nobody says because a baby poops in his clothes that he's not a baby or he's not human. Nobody says that. And such as it is with us. And I'm telling you, this is why I can do this. This is why I can fight this fight and stand with this thing, because I know. You can talk to me about, well, how do you know, but we don't believe it. So if we don't believe that Jesus Christ is, why is his name under heaven? Why are we even talking? Why are we mentioning a name that never was? Why are we contending with the church that never existed? Why are we contending with language, even Holy Ghost? Come on, let's get real. Everything that people are arguing about, it had to exist. Otherwise, you want to argue about something you don't see. You're not going to argue about an empty floor other than that it's empty. And that's where we are. This thing, my brothers and my sisters, I don't care. That's why when I see Christians doing crazy things, I'm thinking, guys, you are living way down beneath your status. beneath your nature, because who you are is awesome, and it's so awesome. Let me tell you how awesome this thing is. This thing is so awesome that God, listen, Jesus said to the folk about John the Baptist, he said, a baby in this thing is prime. Why? Because the baby of a monarch is a different kind of baby. The baby of a ruler, different kind of baby. And God is saying, but even the baby, the brand new Christian who just, I just said it this morning, I'm still wet. I still got the birth grease on me. I don't even know how to say anything more than And still we're awesome. Why? Because we come from a gene pool that was not in a vault. The vault of the new creation is the exact same vault of your children, your body. Your body is the vault of your children. Your body holds your sperm, holds your eggs. You are a living vault of the future creation. If you stop, if you don't deposit your seed in the planet, it's gone because it's in you. You know, we like to think other tales about where babies are. No, the sperm is in you and the egg is in that woman. And we are the vault of humanity. Jesus Christ, likewise, with the Holy Spirit, is the vault of the eternal being, God's eternal being. And I'm excited to say I can share this. I can teach it from here to we don't know when. And you know why? Because I know it's true. You can talk to me about, I just don't think, but that's how you happen to believe. I wouldn't even have anything to believe, and you wouldn't have anything to argue if it was not so. We're arguing on obvious. And that's the beautiful part of it, the beautiful part. And guys, you may not wonder if God lives or not until he's in you. But when God is in you, everybody that God is walking and talking in today going to tell you there is a God, he's alive, and he's in charge. And everybody that he's not in is still groping around in the dark wondering, is there a God? Should we believe? Can we call a rock a God? Can we call a stone a God? We are so privileged. We get to know for a fact that we are part of a huge world, a huge family. And I would like to encourage all of you this week, don't cheapen your salvation. You come from the gene pool of the Almighty God, not just his handiwork. You come from his literal reproductive self. He brought you into existence in a way that he did not bring Adam into existence. Jesus said he came out of God's body. We come out of Christ's body. Your children come out of your body. Your car comes out of your hand and your vision. Your homework, your paper, your dishes, whatever it is you create. And I will end it on this word. Adam with God's technology. Jesus Christ makes us God's genealogy. And God's our father, and they are with family. And I'm going to keep saying it. You and I don't know you. You don't know me personally. But guess what? It doesn't matter. We are family. We are bound together by genetics. Now, you know you got family members. You have never seen people, have never seen their mom, dad, father, sister, uncle, whatever. And you know what? But when that word family hits, it breaks all boundaries. It destroys every barrier. It takes away all estrangement and all alienation. And I love it. I got to tell you, I love you. When I tell you I love you, I love you because we're family. I love you because we come from the same genetics. I love the world because God gave his life for it. That's why I love it. But I am not confused about who's in the world and who's in my home. There's a difference. You can go out to lunch with whomever. You can drink coffee or whatever it is. But when it comes time for who comes into that place, that's family, and that's a family spot. There are people, you know, we're going to talk maybe next week about heaven and hell. I might go there. I don't know. It depends on what God wants to discuss. But I will tell you this. You are not a Christian because you said a prayer. And if only a prayer made you a Christian, then you need to go back to the cross and complete the process, because the cross is the birthing room of the new creation. And if you don't go by the cross, you are not born again. The cross is the birthing room of the new creation. That's why, look at it, it's a cross. It's a birth canal. And you've got to go through the birth canal of the cross to come into God's genealogy. And if you don't, if God looks inside you and doesn't see his genetics, he doesn't owe you anything. And that's what I want you to think. I want you to think about that all week long. Hallelujah. I just got excited again. Ashley, did you see? I went there again, girl. Help me. Help me out.
I think these days you just stay there. My Lord.
Woo! Jesus. I want our listeners to know what makes us who we are. It's just, we're great, but we're great in the sense of who we're born of. We have to earn the rest. So we have that imputed righteousness. Now we need to grow our seed up, grow our eternal spirit up so that it can begin to script, rewrite the script of our mortal soul so that it takes on the full habitation of God, the habits of God, because God is inhabiting us. And I'm excited. I can't even tell you. I love this man called Jesus Christ. He is not an embarrassment to me. I am not ashamed to call him my God. He is all that and some. And unless somebody tells you the story, you don't realize that that man pulled off the greatest coup that ever was. He sneaked into a planet. He sneaked into his enemy's camp, sneaked in incognito, and hijacked the entire human race right under the enemy's nose. Just hijacked him. How? The same way he got into the planet, through lineage. And I thank God for it. Hallelujah. How about you, Ashley? How about you? How's that landing with you today, girl?
Oh, it's landing heavy, and it's hitting your listeners, too. We have Nathan talking about preach, Dr. Price, or as they say, step heavy, preacher, step heavy.
Well, because we have to know.
I love it. Well, but here's the thing. It's not until you hear somebody like you. Okay, no, let me back up. It's not until you find somebody like you who can articulate Jesus Christ to the depths and the extent that you do that causes you to realize, I really don't know much about him beyond what I feel or who I want him to be to me. But we don't think about Jesus in terms of who he is in relation to creation and what he does and his purpose. I mean, you said some serious things here. First of all, Adam was God's technology, but we are God's genealogy. I could have had a cup of coffee on that thought. I mean, just that thought alone said, okay, but she's still talking, so I need to keep thinking. And Jesus Christ is the vault of eternal beings. I mean, come on. Who do we hear that's saying this kind of stuff? I will say it again. Somebody put this woman on television. This is powerful because these are the missing links and keys and doors and everything to our salvation. See, we don't know this information, Dr. Price, which is why we're weak Christians. We're not weak Christians because Jesus is weak. We're weak because we don't know how strong he really is.
Wow. And you know that's true. You know that's true, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, and I'll tell you what else we are. We're not only are we weak, but we also don't defend. We don't cherish this thing because God has so many children. You know, the rule of life is that if there's a bunch, then it's common. No, it may be frequent, but there's nothing common about the new creation. It is still an uncommon one. Listen, the miracle of natural birth is still not known. They can tell us a couple of techniques. They can't tell us why at a certain time that spark of life comes and that thing is real. They cannot tell us how over and over again God made one man, one woman, has never come back to the planet again, and that thing is still reproducing after its own kind, still working. One tree, one of everything, pair of this and a pair of that, and this man has not come back. You can talk all day long, but you know what? The man's work speaks for itself. People would say to a lot of us who are listening today, but your work speaks for itself. Listen, God's work speaks for itself. Paul said that. He said that we know that the things that are unseen are recognized by what's seen. This man has never come back to make another man. Oops, that's bad. I got to come back. Oh, my gosh, I got to scrap Adam's thought. No, he didn't even scrap us for Christ. He just went in the gene line. He went into the lineage of humanity and flipped that thing and turned it into something else. Never stop. Oh, no. I can talk about this man. I can preach him all day long. And I'm telling you, you cannot check me on this one. Because the minute you say Jesus, you've agreed with me that he was and he is to come. Otherwise, why call his name? So I'm calming down, Ashley.
Oh, don't make promises. Don't make promises.
Ooh, I'm trying to calm down. Because when I think about it, you know how they say you think about the goodness of Jesus? You know, a lot of the things that we're doing to Christ, a lot of the things that our country has done because it doesn't want to be, they don't even realize that Jesus Christ did the impossible in making us. And I want you to know that if we wrapped our head around it, there is nothing like us. There is nothing like us at all in all creation. Nothing. And there will never be. One Jesus, one big. Your father makes one kind of kid. Your father does not make 55 kind of kids. Your mama's egg makes one kind of kid. Now, if your mama mixes her egg with another guy and your father mixes his seed with another guy, another woman, still, each one of them make one kind of kid. Be a different dynamic, one kind of kid. You will never get another kind of Christian. You will get a Jesus Christian or you will get a person who is following the principles of Christ. And that's fine. That's one's behavior. Hallelujah. Come on. One's behavior. The other's nativity. So a lot of people are behaving like Christians, and others are natural Christians or supernatural Christians, if you will. But we are different. That is why everything about us is different. And we will talk about that in future shows. But I want to ask you, Ashley, before we talk about some of our good stuff we have going on, I know we have Prophet Adia around, and today is January 30th, so we need her to tell us what that means.
It is January. Prophet Adia, are you out there?
I'm out here, Prophet. I'm out here. I'm swimming in the deep water with y'all today.
How do you put on your life jacket? It's deep.
Get those floaties on, girl. Put your floaties on.
Put them all on.
I got my floaties on, Dr. Price. I'm swimming deep. You are hitting it today. Welcome, 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 everybody. It's Paula Price Show Thursday. It really is our favorite day of the week, and we want to let you guys know what is going on. Now, listen, the month is about to come to a close. Tomorrow's the last day in January, and it's also the last day for you to take advantage of our assessment special. We've got two major assessments out there available for you right now. We have a minister's assessment and a prophet's assessment. And right now, we're running a special just until tomorrow, 25% off the minister's assessment, and the prophet's assessment is $49 through Friday. These assessments will be available all year long, but this special will not. So you want to make sure you go to drpaulaprice.com, click take an assessment. It's going to take you to our company site where you can sign up for your assessment. You'll see the prophet's assessment ad on the front page. If you're going to take the minister's assessment, just click personal assessment and it'll take you to that minister's assessment. But we want you to take advantage of this sale. Do not miss it. It's going to be on till tomorrow, till midnight tomorrow. So do that, log on. Also, we want you to connect with us following the show. So I'm going to give you our social scene right now and how you can catch up with Dr. Price. If you're on LinkedIn, then you want to look up Dr. Paula Price. That's for our businessmen and women who use LinkedIn. Dr. Price is on LinkedIn as well, so connect with her on there. She even has a group for you on there talking about empowerment, business success, wisdom, all of those good things. So make sure that you connect with her on LinkedIn. If you're on Twitter, follow Dr. Price on Twitter. You can look her up on @DrPaulaPrice. And, of course, follow Dr. Price on Facebook. Click like on her page for all of her inspirational messages, quotes. She also goes into detail about why she produces what she produces, about her books and her programs. So you definitely want to connect with Dr. Price on Facebook. Last but certainly not least, I want to share with you all just a little bit of about what people are saying. We promised we would bring you some testimonials, so here we go. Now listen, first names only to protect the identities of the righteous, of course. All right, this is from Linda. She said, the woman last week who shared her testimony at the end of the show about forgiving the man who murdered her son, she said, I don't recall her name, but she blessed my heart so much. What a testimony. And then she wraps up by saying, I love when Dr. Paula Price calls God sugar pie Jesus. Linda, we love that too. And around here, our saying is, Jesus is a sugar. Hallelujah, from Dr. Paula Price. All right, Suzanne says, gotta listen to this again. This is such a blessing because it's right where so many people are right now. Amen, Suzanne. We thank you so much for listening. Dr. Nathan says, today I'm in position. And a few weeks ago, I got to say this quote because I just love it. He said, Dr. Price is showing up preaching right now. She's all in my stuff. Dr. Nathan, she's all in all of our stuff. We got to agree with you on that. Bridget says, powerful show. And also we had another one. Cassandra says, Double whammy, I am in agreement. No, this is from Nadine, sorry. Double whammy, I'm in agreement. God is a thinker, and great leaders teach you how to win, but also to war. We thank you guys so much for connecting with us online. We love to read all of your feedback. If you are not yet, you know, a Paula Price Show follower, we want you to make sure that you get connected, link in with us. If you want to be on our email list, we want you to go to drpaulaprice.com and click contact us. Tell us to add you, and we'll make sure that we add you to the email list. We're so excited about all the things that God is doing, so we'll see you online.
I love it. Thank you, Prophet Adia, for keeping us in touch. And Apostle Sally just posted, Dr. Price, this subject has left me speechless for a moment. Jesus hijacked the entire human race through his lineage. She said, my God. And I think that sums it up for everybody. My God.
Is this not a story? Let me tell you, you know, Ashley, we have a statement in our organization. We talk about when we think gospel, all we hear is the gospel of salvation. But there are many, many, many parts of the gospel that have never come to light. That's why when the Lord said, when the gospel of the kingdom, not just the branch you like, but when the gospel of the kingdom has been preached in all the earth, then the end will come. And Lord knows, glory to God, I'm going to preach this thing because you know what? You're right. Jesus is my sugar. And I'm telling you, the man is awesome. He deserves a lot more than he's getting. But I tell the saints today, and I say it when I'm counseling, but Jesus deserves a lot more than you've given him. He deserves a lot more than he's being given right now, and he doesn't deserve the mess we're trying to throw on him. But that's okay, because we're going to do this thing because he is a honey man, and he deserves the best. Now, Ashley, we got something else that we just did. You know, by now they know that at Paula Price Ministries, we don't stop. At PPM Global, we don't sleep. You know that. Half of you all know, because you text us all night. It's interesting. I don't even know how we do it. But we don't stop. We are driven. We're driven to flood the world with the King's excellence and Jesus Christ's superiority. That's what we're driven to do. I'm going to flood the world with the superiority of this man, his supremacy. That's what I want. And so guess what? We did it again. We came up with another product. And actually, I'm going to talk a little bit about it, and then you'll share what's in it, in our package, a little bit of the secret sauce. Now, don't tell the whole story.
Absolutely.
But we just released on our online school, what's the name of it, Ashley? I want to get the title right so they know what to go for.
Building Your Commission Team, Stage 1.
There you go. Building Your Commission Team, Stage 1. Now, what is that? I mean, many of you are like, what is that, Dr. Price? Building Your Commission Team is for apostles, apostolic Christian, apostolic ministers and leaders, and apostolic prophets, and always for prophets. Everything God does is for the prophets. The prophets don't ever write yourself out the script, because God kicks off things with the prophet, wraps up stuff with the prophet. You all are very important, and that's probably why people are always trying to freeze you out, because, hey, you guys are God's first point of contact. You know, apostles are God's first line of defense and offense, but the prophets are the first point of contact. God's going to tell a prophet what he's going to do. He says, surely the Lord does nothing. Surely the Lord God does nothing except he first reveal his secret to his servants, the prophets. So I'm excited about saying this. So this commission team training is awesome. It's 6 sessions, and here is what it's about. You all heard, you know, God called me with this apostle. God called me alongside that apostle. God called me to do this. He called me to the apostolic church. And you obey God because we are obedient saints and we love the Lord. So we obey God. And then we go to these ministries and nobody knows why we're there. Nobody knows what to do with us. We bring our gifts, our talents. We don't have a clue. The people who are receiving us don't know what to do with us. The people who are working with us haven't got too much of a clue. And so we're stuck. In addition, every apostle has got to build their team. No leader starts out without building your team first. Jesus gave us that model. He started out, he preached, and the first thing he did was assemble his cabinet, his apostleship cabinet or commission team. 12 people, hand-picked, prayed all night. Okay, God, I've given them, you know, everything before the apostles was his announcement. I'm announcing, hey, I'm here, the Messiah's come, I'm ready to fulfill the word of God, this is marvelous. But now I need a team. And so he assembled his team. He trained his team. And everybody knew his commission team. Do people know yours? Do people even know your commission? And so now God has given a way to help you fill that gap. All it is a gap because, remember, God is reinstituting this thing. It's coming back around. And so a whole lot of the principles and policies and all the protocols and stuff, they did not exist. So we've done it. You want to get online and take this course called Building Your Commission Team, Stage 1. You're going to find out about who's to be the apostolic prophet, how to build a team, how to vet your team members. Wouldn't you like to know how to vet them? Because some of them, they love us so much. And, I mean, truly, people love us, but that doesn't mean that they are commission team busy or ready. And then you're going to find out how to train them. It is a great course, 6 classes, online, at your pace, at your leisure. I want to invite each and every one of you to take advantage of it. Now, Ashley, I'm going to take a breather, and I'm going to allow you to talk a little bit about what's in this package without giving away the store.
You will never accuse me of giving away the store, Dr. Price. I am so excited about this course. I cannot believe how much information is jam-packed in these 6 amazing sessions. Your average session is about 45 minutes long, so you won't be shackled down and chained down forever. What you do is whenever you enroll in the course, you get your syllabus, you will see your lectures right there online. You'll have an audio presentation with Dr. Price and Prophet Tala because it's a team effort in this course. Their PowerPoint teaching notes are actually on the screen for you to write down yourself. We want you to be able to take away from this as much as possible. You have assignments that complement the lectures so that you will be building your idea, whether you are an apostle who is building a commissioning team or you should be the member like me of a commissioning team. You both have to prepare for that. I mean, so many people, Dr. Price, want to know, how did you get your team to be where you are? Other than the fact that, of course, all of your experience, hours and years training us, what are some of the elements that you did? And they ask us, how did you conform? How did you become a team member for an apostle like Dr. Price? Well, those are the nuggets of wisdom that are going to be in this course. You're going to learn how to lay the foundation for defining the commission, validating your commission, commissioning terminology. In case you forgot, Dr. Price did write a dictionary and is probably well on her way to another one. But we won't start that, so don't ask her. Sorry, Dr. Price. It just slipped out. she does do a portion of her lecture on commissioning terminology, orientation to building your commission team, elements of building your commission team. Prophet Tala teaches on those things, and then screening your team candidates. Members need to know how to prepare to be on a team. Leaders need to know what to look for in their members. And so you get from the foundation to the rooftop in this, I would say, rapid-fire training course for apostles, prophets, apostolic leaders, members of an apostles' church, or partners of an apostles' ministry. You define, and it is defined, you and Prophet Tala define the difference between who should be a member in your church and who should be on your commission team. Those might be 2 different people altogether. Again, those are just the bullets. When we send the promotional information out there, you'll be able to read more about it there. But that is it in a nutshell about what they're going to get in building their commission team.
And this is for everyone. Everyone, it's understandable. It's not language and things that are so high that you can't get it. There's something in here for everyone. If you are an apostle and you want to have a training, we did it in an 8-hour day. It's an 8-hour training, to be honest with you. It was an 8-hour day for us. We started in the morning. We had our teams in, and we had 3 apostles who had their teams with us, so you can really link up with your other apostles. You can do that. Go online. Everybody can do it. You can facilitate it like that, or you can have them do it all on their own, and then when they meet in class, discuss it. If you are a network, prophetic company, apostolic network, if you're a church, it doesn't make a difference. Let's say the Lord is calling your church to shift into the apostolic. Hey, this is a good tool. It's a good way for you to begin. I often tell pastors, when God awakens you to be an apostle and for your church to shift, do not stand up and say, bless God, we are going apostolic. Don't do that. And this teaching will tell you why. then this teaching will tell you how to transition your church smoothly with minimal upset, because you need to do it God's way. So we want to tell you, you have to get this. Now, Ashley, how much is this introductory course? Or how much? Let's get the introductory price. I'll say it like that.
Yes, yeah. The introductory price is
$49.99. And listen, all of you who are leaders, all of my leaders, and even if you're intercessors, because, you know, you need intercessors to pray you through everything you do. I think that that's one very underappreciated group, because you need that. You need those folks, and we'll talk about that another time. But you can use this to not only verify who's who, select the best, train and equip them. You can also use this class to bring everybody on the same page. Nothing is more difficult than having everybody on a different page. And then you can also use it so that you can have a credential team. You can certify your people and know who's who, and they'll know what they know. So I would invite everybody who's listening to us on our show today to go tomorrow. Is it going to be live tomorrow, Ashley? Is that when it's going to be live?
That is the vision, yes.
Okay, that's the vision. Okay, I'm not going to respond to that last word. I'm going to drop that off. I'm going at yes, and that's where I'm going. And so, but we're going to, tomorrow you can start, sign your people up as a leader, as pastors, as apostles, especially apostles and prophets. And if you are the head of a network, an apostolic or prophetic network, you definitely want to include this in your training program and your development programs for your group. This is awesome. I'm telling you, it is awesome. And next week, I have another surprise for you, because at BPM Global, we don't sleep, at least not much. What would you say, Ashley? We get naps. We get cat naps. That's what we do. Hallelujah. Well, what's next, Prophet Ashley Claytor?
Well, would you like to do some announcements and then go to callers?
I think that I would like to do some announcements and go to callers. I think that's a great way to go into it. I usually like to get into our callers, you know, probably at the top of the hour. We might get there a little earlier this week. Let's do that.
How are you pursuing purpose this year? If you're like us, you're pursuing with an intense passion. Passion ignited needs direction. And when passion and direction merge, success is inevitable. Your success is our passion. At PPM Global Resources, our team of experts will identify with your passion and act as a personal vision support team to see your purpose fulfilled. Access our exclusive resources and special services. Gain clear perspective on who you are and what you're called to do. This is the breakthrough you've been waiting for. Take advantage of the Passion for Purpose special. Our prophetic aptitude questionnaire is just $49. And the minister's assessment questionnaire is 25% off now through January 31st only. These exclusive offers can be yours and more. Visit www.drpaulaprice.com and click Take an Assessment, or call us at 877-419-1299 to learn more.
Spiritual leadership for ministries is an ever-changing frontier. There are thousands of books on what makes for a great leader, how to get the best out of your people, how to grow your church or expand your vision. However, there are few books to tell a leader when they're doing it right. Of course, there are the signs of progress and proof of outcomes, but as a leader, wouldn't you really like to know the truth? There are 10 things every leader should know who sincerely want to be successful in ministry. What type of ministry do I really have? What type of members does my leadership attract? What are the gifts and callings currently active in my ministry? What is the ministerial readiness of each individual? Who is the most compatible with my vision? Do I have the people I need to achieve the vision? Do I have the right people in the right positions? Do I know the hidden potential within my ministry? Are my people sufficiently equipped to replicate my message? Not having answers to these questions has proven to make spiritual leadership challenging for many ministers. The key to great leadership is producing great people. Any organization is only as strong, effective, and excellent as the people that comprise it. When you know your people, you know your organization. Rediscover yours by considering the Standardized Ministry Organizational Assessment. Sign up online today by visiting www.ppmglobalresources.com.
And so God is saying you can have high hopes and high dreams. You can have a solid foundation, but you need to keep them working together, a pillar. You realize that when they put up a building, if you've ever watched them pull up a building, the first thing they have to assure is that the ceiling and the floor don't meet. Isn't that something? Because you realize that when the ceiling and the floor meet, yeah, they call it rubble. And a lot of people's life is in a rubble. Because the ceiling and the floor had nothing to separate them and support them. So nothing could break their dreams and nothing could protect your foundation. Which is why God says wisdom is the principal thing. You realize that if you don't have anything in between the top and the bottom, it's a sandwich. You know, you don't want your wedding cake to collapse. You put separators in it. So wisdom separates the dream from the foundation to support them so that they can both benefit from each other.
Well, and there's some more wisdom from Dr. Price about wisdom and the pillars and keeping your life propped up. And along the lines of wisdom, there are some amazing things going on with Dr. Price. She is going to be on the move once again. She will be in Joliet back to Apostle Nona Parker's at Antioch in February. And she's going to be there for leadership training, and it's called Talent Leadership Training. You have to go there to find out what talent actually means. But she is going to be teaching February, Wednesday the 19th, Thursday the 20th, and Friday the 21st. This is free, 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 and it's a unique training op. It's open to senior leaders, leadership teams, and leaders in training. Dr. Price has written pretty much the book on leadership and people placement and empowerment. What you will learn about the fundamentals of leadership, defining leadership talent, recognizing leadership talent. Do you know if you cannot recognize leadership talent, you will not accurately place leadership talent? How about getting the mind of a leader and learning how to lead like Christ? As we learned in the Paula Price Show, that's not about being a little sissy. We equate, oh, leading like Christ is letting people walk all over you and, you know, turn the other cheek, and we're going to always, always, always use those scriptures when we're talking about leading somebody. That's not what we learn here. So choosing the right people as a leader is something else. Grooming your perspectives to lead, measuring leadership potential, and properly utilizing leadership potential. So you need to measure it, utilize it. Those are just some of the things that you will learn in those three power-packed days at Antioch Christian Assembly International under Apostle Nona Parker. On Facebook, we have the information. We're also sending it out. If you want to register, go to Antioch, C-A-C-I.org. Let me say that again, Antioch, C-A-C-I.org. Or you can call 815-727-0122. Again, that is 815-727-0122. Register. If you are in the area, if you're a frequent flyer mouth, I mean, come on. Who will pass up this opportunity to sit with Dr. Price and learn about leadership training? I've been in these classes. We are the fruit of these classes.
You must go to school if you want to bear fruit and if you want to measure up. So I encourage you all, I urge you all to take advantage of this opportunity for this talent leadership training. Don't let your talent go to waste. Don't remain an amateur for the rest of your life. Be certified. Get a certificate. Say, I sat through this class, and I know what I'm doing, not just because I've done it for a long time, but because I have some credentials behind my name on some level. So Dr. Price will be up there wrapped up in a lot of scarves.
Shitty boat.
Juliet. Illinois. If you're in the Chicago area, bless you. Like, oh, God. They finally got it. What a time.
Honey, you know me and the Cole, so you have to know this is a move of God, because me and Cole don't do well. We are not close friends. We are distant acquaintances, you know. I told her I would like to end my days in some sort of warm climate somewhere, but whatever. I do want to say to all of you, please join me there. I think you'll appreciate it. Now, understand, this is leadership. That means anybody who's in any level or capacity of leadership, and it is about leading. You will appreciate talent. It is called talents for a reason, and you'll need to show up to find out. Okay, Ashley, we've got a lot. We've got a lot. We've talked about Jesus Christ. We've loved up on our Savior a little bit, giving him first place, top billing. You know, I like Jesus to get top billing. So we've done that. We've talked about what we offered. I think that I am ready to talk to some of those wonderful people you told me are lined up on the phone.
Yes, they are. And I tell you, when I went to start the show, they were waiting for me, some of them, already waiting. So first in line from a warmer climate is Mark from Florida. He has a testimony, first of all, to follow up with the prayer that you said to him earlier. And then he also has a prayer request for he needs to find a location to do his fitness training and life coaching business, as well as completion of his book. So, Mark from Florida, welcome back to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you, Dr. Price. My wife and I met you in Boca Raton at Jesus People Proclaim over a year ago. And you spoke some things of us that were very, very on point. And the testimony I want to give you, I called in maybe, I guess, 8-6 months after that just to get some prayer from my wife. My wife's a nurse practitioner, and she has a doctorate in nursing. She was working at a detox program as a nurse practitioner on staff. And she was believing that she was going to transition out of there. Just to make it long story as short as I possibly can, one of her coworkers who was there had left and took a job at a university. And my wife had teaching on her heart, but she had never taught before. And maybe a year later, this woman called her to see what she was doing. And she says, you know, I'm at this university and they're looking for a position. I thought of you. And she came to me because I've been in education and said, Mark, do you think I can do this or do that? I said, yeah, I think you can do it. So we were praying about it. And one thing led to another. Someone, she went for the interview, and the time she was interviewing for this position, I had set up a conference I had with a parent that I met when I was working at a private school just for us to touch base. And he asked me, he said, how's Donna doing? How's your wife doing? I told him what she was up to and where she was looking to interview for this position. He looks at me, he says, have her send me her information. I'm best friends with the president of that university. Mm-hmm. So they went back and forth, and just to let you know, within maybe 2 weeks, she was there full-time as a professor, associate professor. She didn't have to do adjunct or anything like that. And she's spearheading the way now for them leading into their doctorate of nursing program, which they just endorsed, and they're moving forward with that. So they're looking for her to be the director of this at this university here in South Florida. And you had said something that you said to her. You said to me, and she listened to the phone call because she was at the work at the time, but you said that she was going to say, I can't believe this happened. I can't believe this happened this way. Because Donna has never taught elementary before. And she is in there as a professor, functioning and moving in God. And one of the things you spoke to her down here in Boca is that she's been running away from being the voice of God. And we have just, you know, both of us together, our prayer life has increased just together. A lot of things that we do together has increased, and we plug into you as much as we can, but she is now being a voice of God in the midst of her teaching nursing and being able to minister, because it's a Christian school where she can really flow and really develop the Word of God, not just her, but in other people. So I really wanted to share it with you. And also, there was a message, I think it was called Breaking Change or Breakthrough, I'm not sure. It was a few weeks ago, and it was so powerful. I listened to it so many times. My son is in college, and he's a believer, and he's just doing everything right, and he's been going through some struggles with this and that, just with the mindset of what's going on. And I sent him that message, and he's been really just meditating on that message. And he said, Dad, it's really helped me understand what's going on. I said, man, just listen to this. So I want you to know that you are a coach, and every time I listen to you, you put me through two-a-days, because I played football in college, and you can understand what two-a-days is. And it's just really awesome. So I wanted to really share that with you just to let you know the words and the things you shared with us that were on tape that we recorded at Jesus People. We typed all of it out. It's about 3 pages long, and we meditated on all of it. So it did not fall to the ground, did not go to waste. And we really processed it until we were exhausted just to get as much of it in our spirit as God led us through that word. So that was really powerful. I wanted to share with you.
Well, let me say, first of all, I want to say I'm glad to hear it. I love the testimonies, and it means a lot when people come back and say, you know, you said it, God did it, and we're prospering from it, because that's what prophecy does. We're supposed to call you to prosper. So that's the first thing. The second thing I'd like to say is congratulations to your wife. Make sure you tell her I said congratulations. Mm-hmm. I love it when God does that. And the third thing I want to say is that you are what God is looking for, people who want to use their education, their experience, and their degrees for the glory of the kingdom and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say amen and kudos to both of you for that.
Amen.
I mean, that's
amen.
Powerful to me. You
amen.
Know, and I know
amen.
That you have a very active business. I know that. I remember you and your wife, and I knew God had great things in store for you, so I'm glad to hear it. Now, you tell me you got something else going on. What else do you have going on?
Yeah, I have since then. You know, I'm a life coach, and I had a few clients here and there, but God had transitioned me back to training athletes. And I said, Lord, you know, I can do it. That's fine. So he has sent me clients without me marketing, without advertising, any of that. And I have a model, business model, that I use through my not-for-profit. It's the same type business model, except this is for profit. I am called to the high-end athlete, the entertainers, the guys who are want to go professional, collegiate to professional. So God has linked me with a lot of different people, and I work out of my development, which is a gated community. We have a clubhouse there that allowed me to train through my insurance and everything else I have set up. So I'm just believing. God's just showing me to believe for a facility. I'm believing for it's a large facility that I'm believing for. South Florida, we know how astronomical things can be, but I got to say believe for the 5,000 square foot facility with outdoor space, because I also do life coaching. And some of these athletes in South Florida are really like big-time D1 type players that I'm training. And I'm able to use my life coaching skills with their parents and them as well to help them understand what is it they need to do as they pay me for the packages that I charge for. So I'm believing for a special location that I can do that out of. And I'm also writing a book. It's called The Dream Playbook. And the book is based on formations in place. There's no chapters in it. So I'm just using a spin-off what football is like. You know, in football you have formations and you can run several different plays out of one formation. For instance, one formation may be infuse your mind, and one of the plays under that formation is identify and learn from great leaders. And play number two would be read about wealth principles, or play number three would be read inspiring stories. So this book is being written for the millennial, the mid-20s, the younger, that can read this book and really just grab something quick and understand what is it they need to do to apply their athleticism or their gifts to where they're going. So I'm just about finished. It's about 20,000 words.
Okay.
So,
well, then I want to listen. Let me jump in here and congratulate you.
Sure.
The book it sounds exciting to me, and I'm telling you, it's timely. And it's timely because you think about all of the young people that are coming up and needing to have vision and direction. And also what I hear in your book, if I can say this, Mark, is that the ability to balance that talent with the intelligence and emotional stability. Because so many of our young people are talented and gifted to the ceiling. And, again, you know, I have a teaching called Soul of Success, and where their souls are not set up to handle their success. And so the pressure of that success destroys them. And so I am extremely excited about that. I wish you the best with the book. Now tell me this. What do you want me to pray for? You want me to pray for the relocation or the book or the life coach? Or do you just want to throw it all on the table?
Yes, I really want to make it very simple. I'm believing for the location, the completion and of the book and the publishing and how that's going to be done, ebook and soft copy, hard copy, how that's going to happen. And, you know, just leaving it at that. So I definitely want you to pray for that.
Okay. The other thing I want to ask you is, are you Mark, do you have partners? Are you doing this as a partnership or what?
My not-for-profit, I have a board. I don't have a partnership. I'm not feeling led to do it as a partnership.
Okay.
I really feel God says, I want you to really stay ahead. For me, I'm very active in my church. I did take your MAP, by the way. I'm classified as a teacher prophet. And I'm functioning in my church with some things that I've done for a long time. And I'm learning marketplace because I really listen to your marketplace principles, and it's been very, very good for me. Even the last thing you talked about, the marketplace, which is huge. So one of the things you said to me when I was there that, you know, we shouldn't have a church of young pastors. And so if you are, you shouldn't be because you come off very ecclesial, but you're not. You were right on about that. So, but anyway, I just kind of want to throw it in so you would at least know that.
Well, okay, so this is what I want to do. And if you took that, listen, Mark, you got one day.
Hey, I know I do. I got one
day. You got to do it. You and your wife have got to take that PAQ. One day. And otherwise, you're going to have to dig deeper in your pocket. And I would like to take this opportunity to tell everyone it's going to more than double. Because what you get for this price is unbelievable. I wish we had some people who already took it who could speak to how different this is from the MAQ. Because people say, well, I took the first one, but it kind of be saying it is nothing like it. This is the specialist assessment. If you are a prophet and you know it, it is the specialist assessment. And it's going to tell you all of that other stuff that you wish the MAQ had told you. Having said that, I am ready to pray. I am excited about you. I'm happy about what you're doing. And I'm excited that God has got you going forward in vision and purpose. So I'm going to jump right in with prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. God, we thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, I thank you for the young ones you have doing the work of ministry, the people who have grabbed a hold of you, Jesus, beyond church service, beyond the singing and whatever. Those are great, but God, the people who are wading out into the water, going into the deep to make things happen. So, God, the first thing I'm going to do by your grace and by your spirit is I'm issuing an edict to the real estate holders and the real estate property in that area, and I call into manifestation the property that you have for him. God, I connect him with the right agent. I cause the right deal to happen. Lord, and I thank you for doing it. Immediately, God, we call it done by the Holy Ghost. And God, I thank you that you continue to order his steps, give him your wisdom, give him your counsel, and give him your grace, Father God, to go and do this thing so we can partner a generation by your Holy Ghost. And Lord, bring them into purpose as you made them. If they're athletes, let them be athletes. If they're students, let them be students. But Lord, let them fulfill purpose and let them fulfill destiny. And God, I'm asking that everyone that goes into that industry, this is my personal prayer. I'm putting this tag on. Lord, give them the soul of success. Put them with mentors who will impart as much success in their soul, in their psyche, as they do in their skills and their talents. And I thank you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' omnipotent name. Amen and amen.
Dr. Price.
Yes.
Before I go, just one thing I want to share with you. When you were talking about the genealogy, what hit me so strong, I think everyone can hear this, that, you know, when I train athletes, I use my technology and what I know to train them as a good athlete. But their personal genetics or genealogy would make them a super athlete. That's something I can't put in them. They have to bring that. And that really spoke to me. So and
that's
was good.
Powerful. Thank you for sharing that because that to me, that brought it home. That really brings it home. So I thank you for that. Mark, I want you to do me a favor. That when you find your place and whatever, keep me posted. We are interested. I don't just drop a prayer and say, hope it works out. I walk with you in this. So keep us posted. We're excited.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. God bless.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Prophet?
All right. I love the encouraging word coming to pass quickly.
Oh, You know, we're in the season of God doing a fast work, so we should expect God to do those kinds of things. And when I was praying for him, I know that the Lord was waiting to get a push to get his building coming. So he won't have long to wait for that. That's going to be great. Okay, who do I have next?
All right, we have back today on the line Tia from Georgia, and she is calling for some general prayer. Tia, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi, how are you?
I am fine. Tia, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Are you all in the snow down there? What's going on?
No, ma'am. We're up a little further, so we didn't get the snow. The kids were hoping that we would, but we didn't.
I'm sure they were. I think a lot of parents were glad you didn't get it.
I know, right?
Oh, gosh. Well, how can I help you, Tia?
I was just calling in for prayer, and just to also let you know, just to say thank you, too. Thank you for your continual words of encouragement and even the information that you continue to put out for everyone. If I can make a suggestion for something maybe in the future, I think that a lot of prophets need to really our spouses, we need something for our spouses for them to understand that we're not cuckoo and crazy and how to better deal and work with us. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Let me tell you something. First of all, I appreciate you sharing that. That's great. And I can't tell you that that is something that is unneeded. It is quite needed because, you know, we almost need to have a club for the spouses of prophets, you know, because the prophet, I mean, but we got to bless the spouses. Everybody on the line today, if you're a prophet, if you know a prophet, bless the spouses of prophets. All you all who are spouses of prophets, Facebook me and tell me your story, because I know. Baby, that midnight stuff, them strange words, don't want to take you out in public, don't know what you're going to do. You know, never know when God's going to land on you, prick you. And I mean, come on here. And then all of the time, you saying no, and everything says it should be yes, and you still saying no because God has told you no, no matter what it looks like. Oh, my God. I pray for the spouses of prophets. And we, one day, we're going to have a session where we'll talk to them and share a little bit, because that is a unique call. And when you look in the scripture, boy, oh, boy, think about Moses' spouse. The first spouse couldn't even do it. She said, I'm out. I'm taking the kids. I'm gone. I can't do it. I just can't. Y'all all crazy. This makes no sense. Okay? And so, you know, you have to have it. You know, Isaiah fortunately married a prophet, so they got along well. They kind of understood each other. But you are so right. That is a good suggestion. Honey, I'm sorry I'm laughing, but I think about how crazy it is to be married to a prophet and then to get a prophet who's untrained, underdeveloped, or even unenlightened on what this thing is all about. My God, we could tear up the house. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. You know we need some prayer. But in any event, I will take that certainly under advisement. I think it's something that we should consider because it is a valid request. Now, after you have already got me all revved up, look at what you did, Tia. See how you did me? Got me all revved up. Now it's time to go. Where do you want to go next?
You know what? Because, you know, I can take up your entire show with me.
No, so, you cannot. They're going to shoot us.
So I really just want to pray, need prayer for wisdom. Direction. I really believe that the Lord is calling me from out of the area that I'm in now into just what he has given me from as far back as I can even remember. So in the process and the journey, I just want to keep my faith where it needs to be and just remain strong and use wisdom in every single area.
Okay, so Tia, let me ask you this. Are you talking about God calling you out of your geographic location, your church, your ministry, your what? What are we talking about here?
Well, I do believe that he's calling me from out of the marketplace that I'm in into another area. And so I've already started school and studying for it, which is required also, too, for where he's moving me into. And then it may require, because the vision that I believe that God has given me, they won't license me in this state. So
I'm actually considering moving into, I think we, long term, I think we're going to relocate. My husband and I will be relocating.
Okay, and that's when you get, when you're done with school, is that right?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay, I have one last question to ask you, and my last question to you is this. In your church, are you part of a prophetic company? I think I asked you this before, and I think you told me yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Have you gone to get counsel from your prophetic company?
I have, and I'm still getting it. It's short answer, yes, ma'am.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is because I don't know what it is, but I think that you need to be prepared for God to start talking with you about your prophetic company and also you listening to what he's saying about it and really listening to them, because there is just, there seems to be, you know, it's almost like you all are in the same song, you're on the same beat. You're in the same song, you're on the same beat, but except one's on a high note, the other's on a low note. But between, there's a cadence. You are missing the cadence of your prophetic company. And so I'm going to pray for God to do that. And I think it has to do with, not because you don't care or trust them, but it has to do with this conflict that you're having between, you know, ministry and marketplace and your need. You are in a place, see, I can feel it by the Spirit. You need a change. God, if my life doesn't change, God, I got to get a breakthrough. You've got to do this thing that's crying in you. This thing is gnawing at you. Even in your sleep, it's messing with your dreams and everything, because your soul, it is poised for transition. You can't move fast enough. If you could expedite the schooling, you would do it. And so because you're in that posture, you have to make sure that you discipline yourself, discipline your thoughts, and focus. Because a lot of what you're feeling right now is growing pain.
Mm.
God literally is growing the next thing that you're going to do in your spirit, and it's pressing on your soul. And so, I'm so glad I'm not you right now. I'm happy I'm not you. Okay. I am, because I've been there. That's why I can recognize it. Because you are like, okay, it's almost like I'm sick of my skin. You're not, but you feel like it. You so
right.
need to get out of your world, so need to get out of your situation. You're like, if I could just get new skin, if I could just, you know, you're the woman that I need to go to a new restaurant just because. I want to go to a new store just because. Why are we still doing the same thing? It is not them. It is your growing pains.
Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost is saying to you, be patient with your growing pains. It's almost like, you know, it's like that adolescent that's moving from puberty to adolescence. And everything gets on your nerves, but everything is also challenging to you, and everything is intriguing. So I'm going to pray for God to settle your spirit and organize your soul, because right now your soul, all the fear is raging. I'm going to ask him to organize your soul so that you're at peace, because you are on target. Stay on the path you're on. You're on target, but be at peace with this process. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Be at peace, because our spirit gets information from God decades before our soul can register it. It takes our spirit anywhere from 3 to 5 years to script that download from the soul, from the spirit into the soul realm, because the soul has got all that clutter in it. That's why it takes all that time. But while it's doing it, because we're living beings, you've got all of this dynamic going on. You've got recklessness. You've got frustration. You've got hurry up and wait. You've got wait and don't be in a hurry. You've got all of this, and it's a lot of conflict and dichotomy, because the old is being literally cut out, pushed out, and the new is taking its place. And it's a process. When you're a prophet, because our souls are the literal workstation of the mantle, your soul is it. I mean, come on. So your soul is that workstation of the mantle. I'm telling you, if you have to clear the table, you got to sometimes do a whole lot of things. But everything is felt. You feel it all, because that's how we're built. So I'm going to pray for God to give you that rest in your soul. That's where you are. You are, you know, everybody is doing what they're supposed to do, but because you're a work in progress. See, God's hand is all over you, because I'm looking at you, and you're on this table, and I see your soul, and the Lord has you laid out. and he's literally, his hand is meeting your soul. And as much as you love him, even God is scratching. It feels like, God, please, already. Sweetheart, you 3 months, God said, just give me 3 months, and all of the answers you're seeking are going to become evident.
Wow.
Because right now, even if he told you, it would not matter, and the reason it would not matter is because the place that he has to prepare to put this new life that he's given you in there is not done. You're still under construction. And because of that, it's frustrating. And so a lot of your emotions and all of that, just bring them all under the mandate of renovation, because that's where you are. Now I can pray. So you can have peace. And wait a minute, and have peace, and look, your family can have peace, you know? Because you're restless.
Yeah.
I know about that. So we just get a family some peace, you know, that beautiful spouse of yours. See, okay, because, see, not only does the spouse need to understand you, but you need to understand how we land on our spouses. Sometimes we unload on them. They don't have a clue. What happened? What? All I said was. And sometimes they don't want to get into our workplace. And when you're a prophet, you don't realize that your job is always home unless you put up boundaries. So you're always taking your work home. You take it to the dinner table. You take it to the kitchen. You take it to the TV room. You take it to the bedroom. As a prophet, you have to set a boundary. Because we are our workstation, and our workstation travels with us, you're going to have to know when to close the window, shut the doors, turn off the light, and be who your spouse married. That has to happen. You cannot take your work everywhere you go, in your marriage, in your home life, in your domestic life, and think that it's going to be understood. It's not for them to understand. And the only difference between that and your secular job is that you go to that job, but this job here with Christ goes everywhere with you. So that requires a higher level of development, maturity, and restraint to know how to cut that off. And when you are a prophet, you have to recognize that every time you give a prophecy, you're taking your work home. Every time you use your mantle to answer your marriage and all of that, you are imposing your work on your domestic life. And that may not be what you want to do.
Wow.
Be a wife. And go to work and come home and leave work at home. But be a wife. Be that family woman you are. You are that anyway. But when you start feeling like this, you get edgy. And also, when you are a prophet and you are highly prophetic, you also use your family as a sounding board. They don't have a clue what you're talking about. Even if they look at you like they do, they don't. Because God has not given them the resources to get that. So, you know, they're always a sounding board. They're always the one that's got to be it. If people separate your work from your home, in your soul, in your spirit, and in your home, your habits at home. Separate them. And treat your prophetic as if it's a job, it's a career that you can't bring home and you can't impose on a family all the time. If you do that, and I'm saying this to you because you happen to be on the phone, but trust me on this word, the Lord always has a whole bunch of other people who need to hear this. So if it doesn't fit you, that's fine. Just thank God that the person on the phone is also getting it. But I give this as counsel, sage counsel. You know, just because it's a ministry, just because it's spiritual, just because it's always with you, doesn't mean it always has to be imposed in every situation. And so I just know that right now for those people who are spouses of prophets, yeah, we do need to help them understand you, but you also need to understand how we affect them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are just confused, and they're just like, I don't know, I'm stuck. I can't go anywhere. I'm married. I got to do this. So we'll work through that. I'm glad you brought that up. It was a wonderful idea. But I also want us. I like to have a balance. You know, anything that affects also defects, and so we need to know balance between the two. Father, thank you for Tia. Thank you for her life. Thank you for her calling. God, I thank you for resting her soul and letting her know who you are to her and who she is to you. I thank you, Lord, for giving her prophetic people that she can talk to. And Lord, letting her know that even though it's new to her, it's not new to the institution. And there are those who can help her balance this out and feel at peace with the future. She's a great future, God. I thank you for her future. I thank you for the things that you're going to use her to do in this life. But most of all, I thank you for giving her rest unto her soul so that she can walk this out with the composure and the maturity that you need to get the glory. Lord, I bless you for that. I bless you for her training. Let it go the way you need it to go, the way it should go. I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, for showing her how to set up those protocols and boundaries and parameters so that her prophetic calling and her prophetic consciousness is not bleeding into every other area of her life. And I thank you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, Ann.
You're very welcome. Hey, you know I like to hear from you, so you got to stay in touch.
Yes, absolutely.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Prophet?
Yes, yes, yes.
Ooh, now you know, but that's a good, wasn't that a good suggestion on our part?
It was, and the situation, I think, is a very common one of when you kind of start tipping into one role and the others start blending.
Exactly. You know, and it takes, to me, I have experienced in my life, it takes enormous mental fortitude to restrain that prophetic consciousness and the prophetic dynamics that go along with it, because literally you are living in two worlds that are equally dynamic. And until you know how to balance them, they're opposing. When you know how to balance them, then they each one has to petition the other for their right place and time. And so I know for us as prophets, and I would say to every prophet on the line who has a spouse, your prophetic consciousness has got to be disciplined. You can't sit at the table and drift off into those little, you know, we get those little prophetic excursions, just drift off. There is no mind that is so right to be fragmented than a prophetic mind, a prophet's mind. And there's no mind that demands more discipline than a prophet's mind, because you are literally using areas of your brain most people do not even have awakened. And so those, they're competing, and you have to regulate your mind, discipline your thoughts, learn the art of focus. Mental and spiritual focus, and that's difficult because, I mean, when you first start, my goodness, God's talking, you hear it, you don't know how to file it away for later, and you don't want to file it away because you're scared. You're scared you're going to forget. So you don't want to file it away. You want to get up and write it down, but that's rude. And so what you do is you actually you become distracted. You live a constant mental distracted life, and your family, your spouses feel that. They always feel like they're competing with your next prophetic experience. And we have to balance it. That's a discipline that needs to happen. So, yeah, actually, it was a great comment, and I thought it was good. Hallelujah. And listen, you be warned, girl.
I know. I see and fear. It's true. Well, you taught us that from the beginning of respecting boundaries and rules and what patterns you have now that can really set you up for frustration. And sometimes we think, this relationship isn't going to be destroyed. No, but it may be very frustrated. And we're a group of friends that are prophets. And so we have to regulate ourselves that way too. And when we don't, sometimes it can be a little tense and a little tight. It's like, hello, are you here? Are you there? And your brain is going due north to do nothing. And you really do have to bring yourself together and realize this moment is in the flesh. Next minute I will be in the spirit.
It's a dynamic office. It's a dynamic mantle. You know, I always talk about the prophet spirit because the prophet spirit is a very unique apparatus. It is extraordinarily unique apparatus. And what I have to teach my prophets, and I would say to those of you who are listening in, your prophetic episodes and dynamics does not give you a license to be rude and crude. And we do sometimes. We're rude. Distracted listening is distracted listening. That's a lack of mental control. And if you're going to be a great prophet, you're going to have the first thing you're going to have is mental control. You have to control those thoughts that want to run away and whatever, and you're going to have to develop a peculiar skill for tabling and filing and cataloging things for when you are in your office. And just because something pops up, it's kind of like every time the phone rings at dinner, you got to get up and go into a call. That's rude, you know. Or you go out with people to eat, and every time their cell phone rings, they take the call. Prophets' minds do the same thing. Every time something happens, you just stop everything, take the call, cut off the people in front of you, talk, and let them know they're unimportant because you got to take this call. See, that's rude, you know? And so I would say that a lot of prophets have got to learn that there are courtesies and etiquette for your prophet's mantle and your public conduct as a prophet. And it doesn't always have to be rude and distracted. So I'm happy about having covered that. I don't know where it came from, but God be praised. Can we get another call?
Yes, but let me say this one more comment. So do you think
I know,
I took the mic. Do you think that's why Daniel prayed three times a day, too, so he could have allotted time to process all that information, spiritual information he had to deal with, so he could still focus on his other job?
Yeah, because now he had a tough one. He had the two tracking, that political, that governmental, and that high governmental in the spirit realm as well. I think that, of course, I can say that certainly contributed to it or facilitated it. But I also think Daniel had to, because Daniel as a prophet was a prophet in Babylon, where he had to literally navigate, maneuver, and negotiate with every spiritual force in the land. That whether it was visible or invisible, whether it was human or divine, it didn't matter. So he needed that because he's living at his seat. He was under high supernatural and political bombardment. And then he had these kings that were, you know, come on, some of them were like nuts, you know, Nebuchadnezzar. And nothing is worse than trying to be a prophet under a very erratic leader. You know, you talk about talent and talking about finesse and diplomacy. You have to develop a lot of tact. So I think that Daniel needed that for two reasons. He needed to be able to filter, and I'm thinking offload God help, you know, three times a day. But he also had to keep himself in God's posture because he was dealing and always having to deflect very powerful forces, very powerful forces. And when you have to deal with that many powerful forces, you need a regimen for deflecting them. And as you just pointed out, hearing from God, but also to regain your composure and clear your mind so that you stay in control of who you are as a prophet. Because if you're not, if you are an undisciplined prophet, if you're unregulated, you meet a force more powerful than you. Your calling, your mantle, your faculties, and your attributes, if you will be absorbed. And he had to always deflect that potential of him being absorbed from Yahweh and begin to serve other gods. It's a seductive thing, but it does happen, and it happens more often than we like to believe.
Well, thank you.
Well, I'm glad that I can help you today, Prophet Ashley.
Me too. All right.
Now, can I get another caller?
Yes, okay. Next on the line, we have actually a nice, refreshing, another blast from Florida here. Shyelle is on the line. I hit her button. She doesn't even know how she got in the queue. So we thought, hey, this is God. And she just has a testimony to share. So, Shyelle, welcome back to the Paul Price Show.
Hi, Dr. Price. How are you?
I am fine, Shyelle. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Wonderful. You know, every time you talk to somebody with such an apostolic, prophetic voice, they always mess up your life. And you when I first met you, you called out the fear in me and you rebuked it. And, you know, today I walk in that freedom where I'm not afraid to be myself. And, you know, I really didn't know who I was until I took your assessment. And, you know, you just shook my whole world. So I guess thank you are in great order.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to hear that. I think about you a lot. How's your business going?
It's going good. I'm actually sitting for my CPA exam next week. So, you know, that's another area of fear that I'm just like, I'm just going to tackle this. And it doesn't matter how I feel. It's part of my destiny. So just going. And my dad, you prayed for my dad when he was in the car accident, and I thank you. He was paralyzed, but now he's got some movement. You know, he's not 100% yet, but he can walk on his own just a little bit. So, you know, we're just going to keep praying for him. So, you know, just overall, just I don't know the full impact of what of your ministry and, you know, prophetic ministry in itself does for us, but the nuggets that you dropped just like in the, on the last call just shift our lives in places that we need to be. It's like fitting the puzzle, the empty spaces in there. You do that. So thank you.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate it. And listen, your dad is going to have, like, remarkable transition, and this is going to have two stages, 8 months and then 18 months. And if he does not, if he does not give up on the therapies, he's going to do well. He's going to. I hear God saying he's going to rebound fairly well. Never perfect, but he's going to rebound fairly well if he doesn't give up on his therapies.
Okay, he's real aggressive with it because you know he gets frustrated on his own. You know, between because he's so dependent on my mother, and then my mother's tired, and you know, just. It's kind of even ministering to their marriage, really, and because they really don't believe in miracles, you know, I'm that voice to say, you got to keep praying. You got to ask God. God, I can do this. I've seen it, you know, all around, really.
It will. It will. And, you know, but that's a hard thing. You know, when we, you know, those of us who are helping somebody through, you know, we still are not living the day-to-day, the second-to-second agony and shock and trauma of what happened. All we can do is observe it and sympathize, and if we're fortunate, we might get an empathetic thing now and again. But those people who have lived it, now that's a whole other story. So they're going to do fine, and you can tell them I said, be at peace. God is in the midst. They're going to do well because God is in the midst. They are literally in, they have become a project that God himself has taken on.
Amen.
So be at peace. So you see, that's why you needed to talk to me today. You needed to hear what the Lord said.
The peace in me.
Well, I'm going to wish you, I wish you the best, Father. Thank you for her progress, her growth. And, Lord, thank you for her business. Now, I'm asking that you would give her total recall when she sits for that examination. Lord, I thank you that she makes it the first time around. No second time around. I thank you that she makes it, and not even just under the wire. We give you total recall. Lord, where you know that she's weak as she's preparing, cause her to focus on those areas and those questions that you know will be on that examination with, that she needs more understanding of or that she needs to be practicing more. I thank you for causing her to get people who will drill her in this thing in a way that will be beyond what she will need to excel and pass this test. And we give you glory for it, Father, in Jesus' omnipotent name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Now, you're going to let me know. You're not going to have me out there praying, and then I'm wondering if it happened, right? You are going to say, hey, guess what? I passed, right?
Okay, I'm going to let the whole world know, really, but I will put you top on the list.
All right, babe. Wish you the best.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Ashley, do I have another caller?
You know you have another caller. We have a caller from, well, it's probably cold where he is. This is Joseph from Michigan. And he is called, to speak to you today for prayer concerning the next level of his ministry and a book he is finishing. Joseph, welcome to the Call of Christ Show.
God bless you, Dr. Price.
How are you, Joseph? Are you outside? Because I'm hearing wind.
Yeah, I've just come again. But I want to tell you also that your ministry has been a blessing to me. I don't know if you know what about 10 years ago.
Wait a minute, we can't hear you, Joseph. The wind blows, we can't hear you.
Okay. Yeah, about 10 years ago, I was blessed by your ministry. I used to see you. You have a broadcast here in the Detroit area. And I was blessed and blessed to receive your prophet's dictionary that's part of my library. And I just felt led to call today. I saw this on Facebook, and this is my first time calling.
Well, I'm glad you called, and thank you so much. You know, I almost forgot that I had that show on. I was on almost every morning in some areas, and it was about 10 years ago. Hallelujah. So now you have a book you said you're writing. Is that true?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about it in like 30 words or less.
It's a book that's dealing about your purpose and your destiny and just the things the Lord has showed me over the years and has downloaded to me. And I'm just releasing it in a book. It's not large. It's small. But the Lord has been putting it in my spirit for the longest to do a book. And so I just want to be obedient to what he's saying, you know.
Exactly. Now, what's the title of it, Joseph?
The title of it?
Yes.
I really not put a final title to it. I've got a couple of titles. I'm finishing some things up. But I'm caught up between a couple of titles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then we will pray that the title God has in mind is the one you use. But I will tell you this one, whatever title wraps up the last, I want to say the last sentence, but for sure the last paragraph of the book, that's where the title is.
Okay.
So however you put that together, that's what I see. I see the title is in the last, I want to say the last sentence as I'm looking at it, but whichever that last sentence is, that's the title of the book.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. See, now that was worth the call.
Amen.
Now, how can I help you? What do you want me to pray for other than the success of your book?
Just praying about this season. I'll be traveling a lot more this year. Most of the places that I'm going to this year, I have never been to. So I'm just praying and preparing myself.
Okay.
This season that God has me in. And with the traveling and things of that sort, new territory and new places.
Well, Joseph, I want to ask you, how is your family? How's your family and your ministry?
Say that again?
How is your family and your ministry?
As far as I'm not married and don't have any children.
But you're about to come into that season unless you're running from it.
Amen. I receive it. I receive
because
it.
Because I see family all around you. And I see that not only is family all around you, but that there are so many adjustments that you're going to have to make, but that there are dreams. I see you had at least three dreams over the last 7 years that God gave you to prepare you for this time in your life. So I hear God saying to you right now that those dreams, go back to that third dream that he gave you relative to family and your future, because there is some wisdom and counsel in that dream for you. You're going to have to make adjustments because you for years have thought about how you're going to do this ministry yourself and God. So unless you're running from it, you're about to run right smack dab into the reason God gave you those three dreams.
Wow. Amen.
Hallelujah. And God said, and be prepared to change. And listen, I'm going to give you this word. I know you're going to forget it, but I'm going to give it to you anyhow because the Lord wants it in the spirit. Be prepared to change, and do not model your marriage after somebody's theology.
Amen. Amen.
Because your spouse will not survive it.
Amen.
Okay? Now, I can give you more, but I'm going to stop at that. Don't do it. Because, see, you are such a man of obedience and a man of conformance that you will do that, but I'm telling you, this particular person has come from a very, very strict, almost abusive life. They won't survive it.
Wow. Amen. Amen.
So that's the word of the Lord concerning you. Now I can pray. You got it,
amen.
Okay? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Joseph. God, I thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. I thank you begin to equip him for his future life. God, and I thank you that you're putting the spirit of the husband on him and awakening that husband's spirit in his soul. God, I thank you that you're going to create him to be that nurturer that he needs to be. But God, most importantly, I thank you that at that point, he will fulfill purpose and he will achieve your destiny. Let it be be done, Father, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I thank you that before he finalizes the book that you cause him to read it again and again and have at least three other people read it so he can cross his T's and dot his I's so that where he takes it, God, you can get the most mileage out of it. And I bless you for doing it, Holy Father. In the awesome name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Listen, and keep me posted. Now, unless you're running, you're getting ready to run into the
I receive it.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bless you.
Woo, hallelujah. Boy, we have a great time today, aren't we, Ashley?
Oh, yeah. This is dynamic as always.
You know, I would like to say something here. You know, I thank God for the Paula Price Show because I get to say a lot of things that God wants to voice. I want to say to many of you who are trying to maintain theological marriages, that means marriages that have been defined from the pulpit as opposed to marriages that should be emerging from the union of two people that God put together. There are times that even though the doctrine is sound, it may not fall on your particular spouse because of childhood things, because of youthful things, because of the acts of life. The Holy Spirit is saying to somebody on the line today, be the spouse I would be. And understand that people come to us from various life experiences. There is no cookie-cutter marriage pattern. The church likes to do that, but there is none. And because there is none, marriage is literally the creation of a whole other being that never existed before from the union of two people, which is why God uses the church as an example and marriage as an example for the church. When Jesus Christ joined your spirit with his in his life, a new person was born, hence the new creation. And so I would say to whoever you are, back up off of some of that religious stuff. Back up off of that what pastor said. Back up off of what so-and-so wrote and really seek God for how to bring your union not only into God's will, because we can do that, but into his richness. And I don't know who that is, who that's for. God bless you. If it's yours, take it and give God a praise. Okay, Ashley, I got time for one more call, and I want to enjoy it.
And one more call I have for you. This is Rosalyn from Indiana. And she's calling because, Dr. Price, she needs some prayer concerning professional direction that she should take for her business. She needs to know the timing of God. Rosalyn, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rosalyn from Indiana. And I don't have to ask you what the weather's like there, do I?
No, ma'am. It's very cold.
So are you all going out or are you just kind of frozen in?
Oh, no, we're still going out. It's probably about 12 degrees today.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you snow, too? You know, I was in Indiana once, and the day I went there, it snowed. It was warm in the afternoon. By the time I got to there at midnight, it was cold and snowy. Never saw that before. It was amazing. So I do remember that experience. So are you all snowed under?
Well, we're not snowed under. We probably have on the ground maybe 4 inches. But it's cold, and it's getting colder. It'll probably be one tonight.
Wow. So talk to me. What is it that's going on in your world, Rosalyn?
Well, I'm currently working. I'm a professional in project management, but I've been prophesied to have a business, and I really believe it's the Lord's direction. So I started working. I have a business partner. But then there are also other, like, parts that I believe the Spirit of God is opening up to me in the realms of business. But I just want clarity on timing of when I should do certain things in the business and when I should hold off, how long before I start transitioning out of, like, the day-to-day job that I have into the full-time focus on my job, on my business.
Okay. Now, how old is your business?
It's very young. We just started last year, like late last year.
So it's about 3 months or so?
Oh, no, ma'am. It's probably been about almost 6 months.
Okay, 6 months. All right.
Yes.
Now, this is the part that's so interesting. And you have a business partner. Do you have clients? I mean, have you established a client base yet?
No, ma'am. We're focused on software development right now, so we're in the development side of it.
Okay. So you need to keep the day job for a little while, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That's the first thing I want to say, because the reason that I'm saying that is because when you start a business, it's exciting, it's engaging. Your, you know, all of your creative juices and your artistic talents are just flowing, and it can sometimes be very intoxicating and seduce you into jumping ahead. I'm going to tell you right now that you need to finish the projects, and God is pleased with the projects that you're doing. So if you wanted to hear that, I can say yes. He's pleased with the projects that you're working on and the tools that you are creating, absolutely. What he wants to tell you is that don't drive yourself in hardship. That's his word. Do not drive yourself into hardship. Wait until your client base is generating enough for you and your partner to cause you to survive off of it, no less than a 10 to 15% cut in income.
Yes, ma'am.
When you get to the point that your revenue is, and that's in each one of your lives, because here's what God doesn't want for you. Now, this is something that for you, Rosalind, is going back to your childhood. God does not want you to drive yourself into debt, doesn't want you to lose the ground that you've gained for a couple of reasons. One is for your own peace of mind, and the other one has to do with the other work that you're going to do for him. And so God said he needs to keep your faith and your hope at a certain pitch for you to appreciate how he's going to use your business and you. So why don't you table any discussion of leaving your job unless one of you leaves and the other one keeps the business going. But if that's not the case, he's saying to you, psychologically, God said he has not built you to go through the hardship that it will take for you to live by faith and wait for your client base to grow.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I suppose that makes good sense to you?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so he said you're not built for it. There are people who are built to take on such battles, and they can withstand and whatever. But, you know, when the Bible says that the Lord will put no more on us than we can bear, you know, that's what he means. Some people he built to be foot soldiers. Some people he built to be generals. Some people he built to be head of state. And their physiological and psychological makeup gets better with the press. Other people, not so much. They collapse and they deteriorate. And so table that. Let's talk about this again in June. Now, June, you'll have a better picture of it because the climate of your business and all of that is going to begin to turn. But you really are going to have to wait till you get to, like, November to know what other decisions to make concerning your day job. So be patient with yourself. I know it's a lot of work, late hours, but to whom much is given, much is required. You can do this.
Okay.
So June, you'll start seeing the light of day. Now, that's what he's showing me. June, but it's November that definition comes.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so I'm going to pray because I think your business is exciting. I like praying for new businesses anyway. I think that's just, you know, that's a bold thing for us, and thank God for America because they, you know, our country really does encourage you to step out and just do something different and to you know, strike it out on your own. I like that about us. That's that pioneer spirit of our country. Father, thank you so much for Rosalind and her business. Thank you, Lord, for taking it in hand. But, Lord, thank you for teaching them about baby steps. Lord, let them not run ahead, no matter how brilliant they are, no matter how rapidly things seem to come together. God, let them walk at your pace, and, Lord, take them by the hand to bring them day by day, discovery by discovery, and, Lord, even creation by creation into your purposes. Lord, cause them not to get ahead of their time because there are things that are coming down in our country that are going to impede what they think is going to happen. So I thank you, God, for causing them to wait on you, to walk in you, and, Lord, to be at peace with you. I thank you, Lord, that you keep giving them favor on their jobs as you continue to give them the grace and the strength to build this product that you've called them to build in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for covering them under the blood. We cover it under the blood of Jesus, and we praise you for it. And as they connect with their clients, Lord, let them appreciate this apprentice season that they're in. So this entire year will be a year of apprenticeship for them as they discover how to do this thing and to make this thing stand on its own two feet. And so we give you the glory for it. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You're so welcome. Hey, I really am interested in hearing the progress. So just every now and then Facebook me and let me know what you got going on.
Yes, ma'am, I will.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Prophet Ashley?
That's a good show, Dr. Price. That's a good show.
Ooh, geez. You know, I'm loving this. This is really, you know, I've enjoyed doing this. I appreciate doing this for God, but I love how God is doing so much with his body. The people are a blessing. They are to me, they're a blessing. And to hear the testimonies, I like that. Because, Ashley, you know, we do this week after week, and it is good for people to call back and say, but, you know, it's working, or we're in this, or we're in that. This piece helped us. That piece got us going. I love hearing that. I really do.
I do, too, and I love hearing how even what Mark was saying, he was sharing it with his son and how you really are a coach and he can tell it to other people. I mean, that's why you do this show. You can't be everywhere at one time in the flesh, but with technology, you can be everywhere at once. And so you can be in somebody's house counseling them. A pastor can use this for a member who might be in trouble. A parent can use this for their child, the wisdom that they need to establish their life in a healthy manner. The sky is really the limit with this kind of format. So I'm excited about what God is doing.
I am too. And you know what else is wonderful is that it's on Blog Talk Radio. We don't take it down. And they get an opportunity to listen to it again and again. And we're building up, from what you're telling me, Ashley, quite an archive of Paula Price Show wisdom and counsel for people to go back in and to listen again and again. And I noticed that some of them, you have even kind of told them what's in there and some of the things that we are covering. I think that's powerful, that they can go back and listen to it again and again. And as you just pointed out, you know, you can take and play this in your prayer circle, your training circle, your leadership circle, and just use the counsel as it suits you and as it fits you. And we're getting a lot of listens. So, I mean, I think that's also the most valuable thing that we do. Not that I do it every Thursday only, but that it's there for you all week long.
And I love it because you can hit the button, let it play. You can sit down, take notes, incorporate it into your Bible study, your family devos, whatever the case may be.
It is awesome. So make sure that you don't just end. And if you got, if we talk to you today, or you want to share what I said with your spouse or your business partners or anything like that, it's here. It's recorded. Thank God for technology. It's recorded. You can go right back again and say, this was what I got, listen to the whole show. And so you've got that witness, and I'm excited about that. I appreciate being able to do this for the people of God. Again, I want to invite you to join me in Joliet, Illinois, February 15th to the 22nd is when I'm there. But Ashley, you're going to give us the dates again. Why don't you just do the commercial? I won't do your job. How about I let you do it?
But Dr. Price, we're a great team.
We are.
Okay, we are going to be in Joliet, and we're going to be bundled up when we get there, praise God. But Dr. Price is going to be teaching on leadership talent, and that is going to be in February. During her birthday, I might add. I just want to throw that out there. February 19th. You know, I could not resist Dr. Price.
I know.
February 19th, 20th, and 21st. February 21st is Dr. Price's birthday. She'll be in Joliet. We're not too jealous that she will be with our Joliet family for her birthday, but she's going there to teach on leadership training, talent leadership training. Save the date, mark the date, and purpose to be there in Joliet. If you are in the surrounding area, Chicago, Joliet, Indiana, I mean, there are so many things in that area that you can get there. Get there. If you have plane ticket, you've been saving up miles, you know you need to get leadership training, get there. Registration is free. Again, the number to register is 815-727-0122. We look forward to seeing you there.
Very good. And just a reminder, go and catch this PAQ. You've got till midnight, the 31st. If you've got a prophetic company, you've got a prophetic class, if you have a prophetic school, or if you are a minister and you want to know who you are, if God is calling you to the ministry, don't miss this sale because it ends the 31st. I want to encourage everyone who is on the phone with me today to listen, to go hang up and say, I'm going to get my assessment. I'm going to take it. In addition to that, last but certainly not least, we are encouraging you to get your commission team training, building your commission team stage 2. Be on the lookout for that. It should be live tomorrow, and you're going to have a great time. Well, actually, I have fun. That's the end of our Paula Price Show for today. We ask God to bless everybody who joined us. And until next Thursday, listen, stay on top and stay focused and pursue what God gave you to do. God bless you. Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price thanking you for joining me on this week's show. I want to remind you that the counsel and wisdom, the prayer and prophecy that you enjoy today does not have to end with today's program. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show and join tens of thousands of people who re-listen to my program every week. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can relive the experience every single day. God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.